Good morning. Welcome to Asia Today with Jeffrey Bingham Mead. I'm so glad that you could join us today. We're coming to you and the world with the miracle of modern technology and the magic of 21st century broadcasting from the renowned studios of Radio 1490 WGCH, Greenwich, Connecticut, USA, and WGCH.com anywhere via live streaming over the internet. Our goal is to contribute to global understanding, promote connections in the arts, culture, education, business, public policy, and international exchange, and create opportunities in the spirit of enduring exploration, friendship, and trust, with a focus on the Asia-Pacific region. We've got a great show for you. So, without further delay, let's get started.
Coming up on today's show,
my guests today are Baldwin Chu and Larissa Lam. Their documentary, Far East Deep South, is a new 76-minute documentary that follows the Chu family on a surprising journey through Mississippi in search of their lost family history. And you can learn more at fareastdeepsouth.com.
Stay tuned. We'll be right back after these important messages.
This is Asia Today with Jeffrey Bingham Mead, and I am your host here on Radio 1490 WGCH, Greenwich, Connecticut, USA, and WGCH.com anywhere. Shows like Asia Today rely upon sponsors, advertisers, and underwriters who care about the programming experiences we provide. Private support is the lifeblood of our ability to connect you and our global audience across time zones and cultures. Our ongoing mission is to present listeners like you with discerning, in-depth, cross-cultural content that enlightens, educates, and expands our horizons. We've set up a GoFundMe campaign on Facebook and on RadioAsiaToday.blogspot.com. We also invite you to contact the station at WGCH.com. If you have something to say or announce to the world, radio is the most effective way to do it. We're in the business of helping you succeed. The cafe in the Toby Taverns building at the Greenwich Historical Society in Kaskab is serving hot and cold beverages, sandwiches, salads, pastries, and snacks, and of course, the coffee is impeccable. What a way to start the day. Bring your friends, family, and colleagues to this undiscovered alternative to crowded coffee shops. It's a good place to do some work, Wi-Fi is free, and the parking is too. Savor the history, smell the coffee, browse the museum store with its many Greenwich-themed gift items. The Toby Tavern Cafe and Museum Store are located at 47 Strickland Road, Kaskab, on the campus of the Bush Holly House Museum, Library, and Archives. Store and cafe hours are Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., weekends noon to 4 p.m.
Welcome to Conversations with Jeffrey Bingham Mead, your host.
I met my two guests several years ago at the screening of their first documentary, Finding Cleveland, held at Greenwich's Second Congregational Church. One of the great passions Americans of all walks of life share in common is the search for their family history, often resulting in surprises and an avalanche of additional questions. Now, in 2020, Baldwin Chu and Larissa Lam have returned. Far East Deep South is a new 76-minute documentary that follows the Chu family on a surprising journey through Mississippi in search of their lost family history. They meet a diverse group of local residents and historians who shed light on the racially complex history of the early Chinese in the segregated South. Their emotional journey also leads them to discover how exclusionary immigration laws like the Chinese Exclusion Act of 1882 impacted their family and how deep their roots run in America. My friends, you can learn more at FareastDeepSouth.com. Baldwin and Larissa, how are you?
We're doing great. We've spent a lot of time the last several years working on their new film, so a little exhausted, but we're doing great.
Well, it's good to be back.
I'll bet you're exhausted, and it is good to welcome you back. So, all right, now, to refresh the audience's memory, especially those who are new to us, please reintroduce yourselves and tell us a little bit about yourselves.
Sure. I'll go first because Larissa is more important, so I'll let her go second. my name is Baldwin Chu, and we started this whole thing with Finding Cleveland, and I'm the producer of both Finding Cleveland and the new film Far East Deep South.
Baldwin also is, his family is actually the subject of our documentary as well. Mm-hmm. I'm Larissa Lam. I'm his wife, and I'm also the director and co-producer of Far East Deep South. I was a director of Finding Cleveland as well, and we're just excited to be here with you, Jeffrey.
And we're excited to have you back. This is really fantastic. Now, your first documentary, Finding Cleveland, began a journey for you that from the very start, really, it was full of surprises. Your trail of discovery did not lead you to China, did it? So tell us about that.
No, it led us to Cleveland, China, Guangzhou. No. It led us to Cleveland, Mississippi, which is very far away from China. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, Finding Cleveland was one of those, was a documentary where it started off as a family home video to search for my family roots. And Larissa's job, basically, during those 2 days when we did our family trip was to just watch our baby.
Yeah, well, we initially were just going to visit the gravesite of Baldwin's grandfather and great-grandfather, who were buried in Cleveland, Mississippi. That's why we went there. They weren't buried in China, and so we thought that was a little curious. I honestly didn't know anything about the history of the Chinese in Mississippi, so I literally thought we were going to go visit the gravesite of the only two Chinese men that were buried in Mississippi. Mm-hmm. And then, unbeknownst to us, there was actually a very rich history and very strong Chinese population at one point in the Mississippi Delta, and so that's why we made Finding Cleveland, because we had a lot of surprises.
Yeah, and indeed, you know, I have to admit that because of the two of you, I that was how I learned about the existence of the Mississippi Delta Chinese. So congratulations, you know, to you. Now, I wanted to know if you would give us a synopsis of the history of the Chinese community in the Mississippi Delta.
How much time do we have? No, you said synopsis. and that's the thing is, you know, when we first got there, there's a Mississippi Delta Chinese Heritage Museum, and you know there had to be some significant population if there's actually a museum in the middle of Mississippi, you know, honoring the Chinese. And so, you know, the synopsis is after the African-American population was freed from slavery, Emancipation Proclamation, you know, all of a sudden the plantations, you know, found themselves without a lot of work, right, helping helpers to work the land. And so where were they going to get more labor? China, because the Transcontinental Railroad had been built, and word got around that, hey, the Chinese were really great workers. They're cheap labor. You can get some more to work on your farms. And so that was kind of the genesis of how the Chinese first initially got to Mississippi, was to kind of fill the jobs that were left open by former slaves. So they came from directly from China, and also those who finished the railroad also migrated over to Mississippi. And then through generations and generations, they slowly moved up to become grocery store owners, which is what Baldwin's grandfather and great-grandfather were, and the majority of them actually were grocery store owners in the Mississippi Delta, kind of filling the void that in black neighborhoods especially, where a lot of white store owners did not want to sell to the black population.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. Now, I looked at your trailer, and I saw that you were very, very surprised, and I would be too, quite frankly, to find a Chinese museum in the Mississippi Delta area. And so I was wondering if you would tell us about that museum and how its staff and its resources were helpful to you.
Yeah. Baldwin, you want to take this one?
Yeah. So we actually didn't even know it existed. And so my brother actually made a few calls and called City Hall and called a couple of other local agencies, and they told us about the museum, which is actually held on the Delta State University campus. Mm-hmm. Now, the curator, her name is Emily Jones, she works for Delta State University as their archivist. Mm-hmm. And so she actually, the Chinese Heritage Museum is actually on the campus of Delta State University, even though it's not, I don't believe it's officially a part of the campus, but it's they allow the museum to be there and use up their space, and they've basically donated the time from Ms. Jones, Emily Jones, to be their curator.
And she was the first person that we met when we landed at the museum, and without giving away too much of the film, and I know, Jeffrey, you've seen Finding Cleveland, and some of those events are we kind of retold in Far East Deep South, but with some additional scenes and a little bit of a fresh perspective. Mm-hmm. But, you know, Emily ended up finding some very key items with a connection to Baldwin and his family that really kind of set in motion, you know, all the different events and why we ended up making a movie.
Mm-hmm. Not only some of the key items that were found there, she also connected us with some key people that led us, that continued our journey to discover more about my family's heritage and legacy in Mississippi.
Mm-hmm. Now, I would like the two of you to talk to us a bit about the Chinese Exclusion Act of 1882 and its impact not only on your family, but those in the Mississippi Delta region.
We'll start, I guess, with, it's a long topic. I mean, there's a PBS documentary that's almost 3 hours long just on Chinese Exclusion Act. So our film doesn't really cover the entire thing in detail. But in general, the Chinese Exclusion Act was passed in 1882, started much earlier than that in order to get it to 1882. And it was basically an act that was enacted by Congress to limit or prevent Chinese from coming over, and it ended their work as laborers. So it started off basically with the Transcontinental Railroad and the dislike for the Chinese after the Transcontinental Railroad was completed, and saying that, hey, your labor was too cheap, your work was too efficient, and it's taking our jobs away, so we need to exclude the Chinese from our country.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know, how it impacted a lot of families is, you know, first of all, you know, mainly men were able to come over. Part of the exclusion and subsequent laws excluded a lot of the women coming over. So a lot of the Chinese men that had come over prior to the 1882 Exclusion Act had obviously worked here, and now they were kind of stuck here. If they left, they wouldn't be able to come back. Or if they left, they wanted to have a family, they you know, only could find wives in, you know, China. So then if they had wives in China and were able to come back, for the few that were able to come back, like, well, they couldn't bring their families over. And that is kind of the situation that happened with Baldwin's family that we found out, you know, after doing Finding Cleveland, is that the Chinese Exclusion Act actually directly impacted their family and thousands of others, because we went to the National Archives in San Francisco, and there are just reams and reams of files that are there for all the different individuals that had come through Angel Island. Any Chinese person that left the country or came back into the country had to go through heavy, you know, immigration interrogations just to prove that they were allowed to be in the country. And so as a result of kind of this discriminatory law, we have kind of this written history of Baldwin's family and many other families. But, you know, sadly, you also get a written history of how a lot of them, especially the women, you know, Baldwin has an aunt that was left in China. His grandmother couldn't come over. You know, you'll see, and people will see in our film Far East Deep South, how kind of the men were able to come over. Mm-hmm. It's very, very complicated, and many families in Mississippi Delta had very similar stories.
Right. Yeah, in fact, you mentioned earlier we're talking about Happy, and so in our film Far East Deep South, we actually talk about how his parents were also separated, and you know, the mom was not able to come over to rejoin their family for like 16 years.
Wow. No, it was 9 years. They got married.
Sorry, married at 16. Something like that.
And Happy M is a gentleman who's he grew up. He was born in Cleveland, Mississippi. That we met through you know, Emily, well, through different people, the president of the Mississippi Delta Chinese Heritage Museum. It was his brother. And so you know, all these connections you know, led to so many people, and Happy actually knew Baldwin's family probably the most intimately out of everyone that we interviewed. He recounted such specific stories, and so it was kind of amazing to hear how he spent so much time in Baldwin's family's grocery store.
My friends, we're going to take a short break. My guests today are Baldwin Chu and Larissa Lam. Their documentary, Far East Deep South, is a new 76-minute documentary that follows the Chu family on a surprising journey through Mississippi in search of their lost family history. And you can learn more at fareastdeepsouth.com.
Stay tuned. We'll be right back after these important messages.
With its breathtaking beauty and enduring traditions, Asian civilizations have been captivating Americans for many generations. Asia may be far away, but the Asia experience is available to you now. You're invited to discover with me the ancient and modern worlds of Asia right here at home through small group travel tours to museum exhibitions and programs offered by our best cultural institutions. We'll journey together and savor the sublime yet unsurpassed cultural magic of Asia. My friends, please contact me with your interest at radioasiatoday@gmail.com or call me at 808-721-0306. Again, that's radioasiatoday@gmail.com or 808-721-0306. This message is brought to you by the Pacific Learning Consortium, and you can learn more at pacificlearningconsortium.org. My friends, the ills of racial and ethnic discrimination and exclusion have found expression here and around the world, all associated with the spread of the COVID-19 contagion. These ills should not take root in our hearts or in our society. Unfounded fear should not be used to justify blaming or ostracizing others just for who they are or who they may be perceived as being associated with. I ask you all to extend the hand of friendship and compassion, especially to those among us who are unable to return to their homes and their families due to imposed travel restrictions. Together, we will defeat the COVID-19 contagion. My friends, thank you very, very much. Thank you. Welcome back to Conversations on Asia Today with Jeffrey Bingham Mead on Radio 1490 WGCH and WGCH.com globally via live streaming. My guests today are Baldwin Chu and Larissa Lam. Their documentary, Far East Deep South, is a new 76-minute documentary that follows the Chu family on a surprising journey through Mississippi, of all places, in search of their lost family history. And you can learn more about this amazing journey and this documentary at FareastDeepSouth.com. All right. Well, thank you for staying with me through the break. I wanted to ask you both. You share an important discovery, specifically the symbiotic relationship between the African American and Chinese American communities in the South. It's something that we rarely, if ever, see in the history books. Share some insights with us about that.
Alden?
Sure. I'll take that first. Definitely, it was something that we, when we first went to Mississippi, we realized that the Chinese were living in the black community. They were in the African American community, and we actually, when Finding Cleveland first came out, we had actually no communication with the black community. We just knew that we were in it, but we did not know how to get those insights. After Finding Cleveland, we were able to reach out to some of those members. We reached out to the mayor. We had other community members reach out to people they knew, and word got around, and we were able to learn more about, learn more about what they were going through segregation. And one of those things was really schools, and Happy M and some of our other interviews on our film talk about how they were not allowed to go to the white schools, and yet they weren't black, so they didn't go to the black schools either. So what happened during those times?
Yeah, and well, really, the most important thing that we found out was with the relationship between the African American community and the Chinese community was that the Chinese stores actually loaned credit to their black customers when a lot of the white stores and the white banks could not. Personally, I wasn't really familiar with the concept of sharecropping, had heard about it, in school. But, when it was explained to us is that a lot of the sharecroppers were only paid once or twice a year. And so how were they able to afford groceries and, other things to survive during the rest of the year? And it was through credit that a lot of the Chinese stores, we heard first account, we mentioned Happy M earlier, he actually told us that Baldwin's great-grandfather extended credit. And they had a very, very close relationship as far as customer, store owner, and just that was the part that was fascinating to us, that they really relied on each other, because also the Chinese needed the customers because they needed the black community to frequent their stores, and also the fact that the Chinese treated the black community with respect. They let them walk in the front door. You know, this is the Jim Crow era. A lot of the African Americans were forced to enter stores through the back or the side door, special, you know, quote unquote colored door. And so the fact that they were treated with, you know, such dignity and respect by the Chinese stores, like, we were very surprised that there was such a positive symbiotic relationship there.
And of course, that relationship could have only happened if they were actually in the in that community. It wasn't that, and unfortunately, it was because they weren't allowed to live in the white areas. They had to live in the colored areas. So, and at the same time, the Chinese at that time were not even allowed to own property when we go back even earlier in those days. So that means they lived in the grocery stores that they were owning, and their customers knew that they were there pretty much every single day, all day long. And so, of course, those are the ways that relationships happen, and that's how they were be able to build trust with each other.
Wow, that's incredible. That's an incredible story. So thank you for sharing that. I wanted to ask if you would talk to us about how your film touches upon what I think is described as the struggle to overcome enormous challenges, really in the pursuit of hopes and dreams and aspirations. So talk to us a bit about that.
Well, I think one of the things that we wanted to do with this film was kind of find some common denominators between a lot of the communities. I mean, one, obviously we're highlighting a lot of the discrimination, the racial inequity that happened, you know, in the past with segregation, Jim Crow laws affecting not just the African-American community and not even just the Chinese community, but, you know, basically any person of color nationwide. And, of course, the added challenge of the Chinese Exclusion Act and trying to overcome some of these discriminatory laws, which trickle down to, you know, property rights, as Baldwin mentioned, et cetera, and even, you know, anti-miscegenation laws. Mm. But I think what we wanted to find, you know, we wanted to really highlight was the fact that despite these challenges, a lot of the communities, you know, from the Chinese community, and I would even say the African American community, were able to rise above that. And I think, you know, that was something that was really important. I mean, yes, there's still struggles today, and things are not completely equal, you know, as we wish them to be. But obviously, we're not in the same place as we were, you know, back in the early 1900s and mid 1900s. But you know, we Baldwin mentioned, like, we interviewed mayors who were African American. African Americans of cities. You know, one of them was the first African American mayor of Pace, Mississippi, which was a predominantly African American neighborhood. So, I mean, there were extreme strides that have been made, and a lot of the Chinese that were in the Mississippi Delta have gone on to become professionals, business owners, and in other, you know, corporate settings, and college graduates. And so, we hope that gives people today that are struggling, because we know it's hard. It's, you know, we're in different, whether you're in a different country or here in the United States, but, you know, things were even harder back then, you know, if we give some perspective, right?
Oh, yes, yes.
You know, so hopefully people can learn from that and try to take those lessons and move forward.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Now, how can our audience learn more about you and Far East Deep South?
Well, they can definitely just go to FareastDeepSouth.com, and they can also follow us on our social media, Larissa.
Yeah, and the social media is at Far East Deep South. See, this is a new film. I'm still getting used to it. At Far East Deep South is our Instagram and Facebook, and Twitter is at Far East Deep So, S-O at the end, because Twitter's not long enough to put South in.
Oh, yes.
And people can watch the trailer on our website, fareastdeepsouth.com. And, you know, if you have questions, feel free to reach out to us through the website or through social media. We do respond when we're able to, and we'd love to hear from you. And, yeah.
I have a couple of more questions I'm going to ask you. Of course, one of them is what do you want those who view Far East Deep South to come away with?
I think, in general, for me, this is what I would like. I would like for people to know when they watch the film to know that there is more that we have in common than we have that are different. Mm-hmm. And I mean, what we'll reveal in the new film is really how deep our American roots lie. Mm-hmm. And I think there's just a lot of things in our society and that people will say, well, you're not really American, and you're not really American. And they may be talking to somebody that's Asian. They may be talking to somebody that's Mexican. They may be talking to somebody from another country. Or they could be talking about somebody who's been in this country for six, seven generations.
Yeah.
And I think I think what I want this film to do is just show how unique our country really is. America is founded on the principles that there's a lot of people that make up what this country is. And so I hope people will find our struggles common. You know, we're not trying to play the oppression Olympics where we say our struggles were worse than yours or vice versa. But we want to say we all have different experiences. We've all struggled together. And the beautiful thing about America is that we can fix the things that were not good in the past, because we can do something more beautiful in the future, but after we learn about the history.
Yeah, and I think the other thing is kind of, you know, we have some public, you know, service announcements about the coronavirus, you know, COVID-19, and I think now more than ever, this xenophobia or, you know, irrational fears of people, you know, who are Asian, a message of our film is like, well, you know, let's not look at every Asian person, regardless of where they were born, as a foreigner, because, you know, that's the top of our film kind of starts with Baldwin, you know, mentioning the fact that people always ask him, where are you from? You know, and he says San Francisco, and you know, like, well, where are you really from?
Oh.
And you know, you normally wouldn't ask a white person that. You know? Let's be frank, or even somebody who's African American. They're like, oh, what African country are you from? You know, you just wouldn't. You would just automatically think they're American.
Yes.
And so, even with like this coronavirus, you know, fear. It's like, you know, you don't. If the virus had originated from Europe, from like Scandinavia, you wouldn't going be afraid of every white person in this country because it's from Scandinavia. So everyone that's blonde, but for some reason, there's this attachment to the fact that people can't distinguish between somebody that is Asian that was born in the United States who's just as American. In our film, really, I think what we want to convey is like Baldwin's family and a lot of Asian families are more American than even quote unquote what you stereotypically consider a traditional American family. And so we really want to kind of dispel a lot of stereotypes, a lot of misinformation and misperceptions of people of Asian descent.
Absolutely, absolutely. And just one more very, very quickly. You have mentioned the name Happy Am. I was at his memorial service here in Greenwich, by the way.
Yes.
I attended that. And tell us very, very quickly, we have about maybe a minute or two left, about him.
So Happy was Happy's father was friends with my grandfather. This is what we discovered in our film, and so we learned about how Happy was a part of the family. What was in our family's grocery store often, and they had a relationship, and where my grandfather would kind of look out for him when his dad was busy working, and so it was a discovery that just moved us, because he had so many stories that my father had never known about his father.
Mm-hmm. Well, I will tell you that he has helped leave, or you have helped, you know, to preserve his legacy, and we are the better for it. So I want to thank you both, you know, for that very, very much. My guests today, my friends, have been Baldwin Chu and Larissa Lam. Their documentary, Far East, Deep South, is a new 76-minute documentary that follows the Chu family on a surprising journey through Mississippi in search of their lost family history. You can learn more about this amazing journey at FarEastDeepSouth.com. You can also follow them on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Their film was named by the San Francisco Examiner as one of the top 15 films people should see at the Cinequest Film Festival. On the day of this broadcast, its first showing is today, March 7, at Century 20 Redwood City, Screen 18 in Redwood City, California. If you're there, please go. Baldwin and Larissa, thank you for joining us today. Good luck. Please stay in touch, and I hope you do both come back to Greenwich. We would love to have you.
We'd love to be back.
Yes, thanks. We'd love to be back, too.
All right, we'll pull some strings, and we'll get you back over here, I promise.
All right.
All right, take care. Bye-bye now.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
You're listening to Asia Today with Jeffrey Bingham Mead, broadcasting to the world thanks to the miracle of modern technology and the magic of radio through the renowned studios of 1490 WGCH, Greenwich, Connecticut, USA, and WGCH.com anywhere via the internet. Thank thank you for tuning in to today's Asia Today show with Jeffrey Bingham Mead, broadcasting to all four corners of the world from Radio 1490 WGCH, Greenwich, Connecticut, USA, and from WGCH.com anywhere via live global streaming over the internet. Learn more about the show at radioasiatoday.blogspot.com. All shows are archived and made freely available on podcast.com, SoundCloud, and the shows and hosts section of WGCH.com. We thank you for listening, and we thank our supporters and advertisers for making this show possible. We would like to invite you to join as an advertiser as well. As we like to say at my home in Hawaii, ahoi ho kakou, until we meet again. We'll be back next Saturday morning, starting 10:30 a.m. Eastern Time. See you then.